This is Solidarity News on Radio Labour.
This is a Radio Labour World Report recorded on Friday, December 4th, 2020. I'm Marc Boulanger. In the report this week, unions in Europe have won a major victory in their fight to have water and sanitation declared a human right. How unions can help skills development during the pandemic. The Labour Start report about union events and singing. This is Radio Labour. Unions in Europe have won a major victory in their fight to have water and sanitation declared a human right. There are 9 million people in the EU who do not have affordable access to potable water. The fight, led by the European Federation of Public Service Unions, which operates under its acronym EPSU. To find out more about the initiative, I talked to Pablo Sanchez. Mr. Sanchez is EPSU's spokesperson. I talked to him on the day that the European Parliament addressed the issue. I asked Mr. Sanchez why the struggle to have water recognized as a human right was necessary.
Well, in Europe, more than 63 million people have gained access from 2000 to 2017. That's the broad sense of Europe, so from Russia to Portugal. But according to the WHO, there's still 60 million people who still lack access to the basic drinking water and more than 31 million who need basic sanitation. And within the European Union, the figures are 9 million still do not have access to drinking water. And, I mean, one person is too many, but 9 million is certainly a figure that is worth fighting against and for EPSU to campaign to promote the human right to water for every single citizen.
9 million people without potable water in the European Union is a lot of people. Why has this happened?
Well, the statistics did ignore them for decades. And then with the 2008 economic crisis, the number of people who could not afford the rising costs of water and housing and electricity and so on, and the fact that there was a higher number of unemployed, meant that many joined that group of vulnerable consumers, as they like to call them in the European Union, and we reached that level. That includes documented migrants, it includes minorities such as the Roma community, but includes also many thousands of citizens who basically were cut by private multinationals that operate the water services because they could not afford paying for the water bills.
EPSU has been running a campaign to have access to water and sanitation recognized as a human right, and the European Parliament has taken up the issue. What is the latest news on this?
Yes, today the European Parliament actually voted a resolution in the frame of a piece of legislation called the Drinking Water Directive, in which they do a direct reference to our campaign that we launched in 2012. So it's been 8 years since we've been promoting and campaigning for the issue of universal access, in that sense, in the European Union. And although there is not a very concrete direct obligation by the different member states of the European Union in the resolution, it sets the ground for more binding targets in order to achieve universal access, with a particular focus, of course, to vulnerable groups of society, which are the groups that actually don't get the basic right to drinking water. This directive only talks about drinking water. There is another one that deals with sanitation. That is, a more complicated issue. But at least today, what we have is a little step in the right direction by the European Parliament. And in due course, this will become legislation, so within a few weeks. We say that our campaigning has transformed into something concrete for those 9 million people who do not have access and for those that actually risk to lose their access, particularly in the times where the economic crisis is looming again.
The need for continuous development of skills amongst workers has become even more crucial as the pandemic changes the world of work drastically. In order to better understand what labor unions can do to help this skills development, the Workers' Activities Bureau of the United Nations International Labor Organization held a global webinar. The Bureau operates under its French acronym ACTRAV. One of the participants in the webinar was Martin Henry. Mr. Henry is a research officer with Education International, the global union for teachers and other educators. He raised a central question about how workers will be able to develop their employment skills as the pandemic continues on.
If in the time of COVID, we're talking about access via the internet and via ICT and those sorts of ways to innovative practice, how are we going to develop the whole of the world and the whole of the workers' population? There are equity issues in that that we have to resolve. And I'm working in Africa, as we have been intensively over the past couple of months. Those questions in the education system are huge as well, where you've had many students who've not been at school. How do we connect them back into the system of working out how to develop their skills in a broad sense, and how we get them connected to a whole life of learning so that they're going to be able to continue to grow and continue to think in this way. Unions also need to be involved in shaping the needs of workers and workers shaping their understanding, because it's not a one-way street. There has to be a negotiation between union management and workers on the shop floor about how those skills are changing and shifting. And they may also have requirements that are personal, that are about developing skills outside of the workplace and are connected to their communities and their ability to support and be engaged in sustainability issues, environmental issues, issues across a broader picture. We've also got to be clear that the knowledge that needs to be delivered in terms of the skills that are applicable in the workplace must be delivered by trained professionals. There are, of course, unions who are able to do that job. Now, I include unions as educators because they're trained professionals in their understanding of what the worker is experiencing and how the worker is responding. And when we talk about the barriers that have been thrown up, they're multifarious. I've already referred to the equity issue and the issue of access and internet, which must be overcome. There's also a fractured global infrastructure that must be brought together in a more cohesive way. And we've seen in the last few months, in very clear and no uncertain terms, that a drive away from collaboration and cooperation across countries and between people is not going to help us, either in facing COVID or in facing the challenges that skills changes are bringing to us. I think our ability to opt out of learning is disappearing. And there must be a way in which we recognize that as workers who take power in this question, that we must be central to the solution. To go back to my African colleague who said, we're not just troublemakers running round, we're actually the glue that will hold this economy together. And that's only going to happen through collaboration between all of us as unions in different areas, that we're able to support each other. And as educators, we believe we've got a crucial role to play. We also believe that ILO has a crucial role to play. And we think that we should stiffen up the approach to lifelong learning by moving towards a lifelong learning guarantee.
Here with his report is Labor Start correspondent Derek Blackadder.
Each day, Labor Start's volunteers collect hundreds of news items about the struggles of workers and their unions from around the world in 36 languages. Here's a small sample of their work. Our top stories section included links to coverage of the developing global campaign to organize Amazon workers, the Iranian workers' rights activist who was given 74 lashes as punishment for his organizing work, and more stories about the unions fighting the dictatorship in Belarus. The emerging trends in our news coverage include shortages of personal protective equipment around the world, coinciding with shortages of healthcare workers. Since last summer, unions representing healthcare workers from Albania to Zimbabwe have been reporting that exhaustion and a lack of support have been causing skilled and dedicated workers to leave the field. Another trend this week has been a focus on the online retail sector. As noted earlier, workers at Amazon are organizing globally. But at the national level, unions are taking on not just Amazon, but all the platform employers. In Australia, the Transport Workers Union is putting intense pressure on food delivery services after the deaths of five workers in just the last couple of months. In Brazil, trade unions have exposed the use of children by unregulated food delivery apps. In Canada, the Postal Workers Union is organizing food and other delivery app workers, whilst the Commercial Workers Union has targeted Uber and other taxi service app workers. In China, delivery service drivers struck this week over low pay and the pace and intensity of their work. United Kingdom workers are threatening to join them for exactly the same reasons. Also on strike recently were workers at the main Amazon warehouse in Germany, with more walkouts planned. Verdi, the workers' union, was reacting to the intensity of work in the days leading up to and following the Black Friday sales push. For our Working Women page, our volunteers found news of the TikTok-based campaign against gender violence by the Building and Woodworkers Union of Myanmar, an important legal victory for domestic workers in South Africa, and a settlement in the dispute involving the militant National Women's Soccer Team Union in the United States. The Free Health and Safety Newswire we offer in cooperation with Hazards Magazine carried stories about the welcome announcement that healthcare workers in the UK will soon be receiving COVID-19 vaccinations, and how and why public transport systems in Canada are placing drivers at risk of infection. Current campaigns that we are running at the request of unions around the world include an urgent appeal for online solidarity with unions in Kyrgyzstan whose organizing efforts are facing severe state repression. Look for details of this and other campaigns on our site. This is Derek Blackadder from Labor Start, reporting for Radio Labor.
Now here is the British labor musical group The Workers with Let's Work Together.
Together we'll stand, divided we'll fall. Come on now people, let's get on the ball. Let's work together. Come on, come on, let's work together. Because together we will stand, every boy, every girl.
That's it, international labor news you can use. You can find our features and daily newscasts at radiolabor.net. Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.